IVM.
Welcome to The Origin of Things. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd really like it if you would give the show a rating on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast platform which allows for ratings, really. If you can't find that, just pass The Origin of Things on to a friend. It would mean a lot. All right, on with the show. Episode 40, The Tinkerer and the Party Animal. This is the story of Earl and Brownie. Two very different people whose stories are forever intertwined with each other with a very acrimonious ending. Let's start with Earl. From a young age, he was a tinkerer. He was born into a poor family and wanted to be a millionaire. He was frustrated by his parents' lack of ambition. At the age of 10, he'd even go door to door selling their produce. Hustlers like these are hardly prime academic material, and so the story goes for Earl. What he did do, however, was take a variety of correspondence courses, and in one of them came across advertising and settled on the belief that marketing and advertising was the future. But it was the early 20th century, so it's not like Earl was saying something that was blindingly obvious at the time. He tried to push his parents to get more aggressive and ambitious and imaginative about their marketing. In fact, his parents owned a greenhouse and Earl wanted them to add a free kiddies play garden next to the greenhouse. An idea way before his time and way before most advertising agencies' experiential marketing wings. As Earl grew, he would have ideas for all sorts of inventions, noting them down in a little notebook he carried around with him. Finally, as none of his ideas really caught on, Earl just swallowed his pride and, realizing that he needed to make money to live, ended up joining a big company. Just another cog in the corporate wheel working for the man. But sometimes a change in scenery and circumstance is all you really need for inspiration. Many a musician would have found their best riffs while on the toilet. Many a writer would have got story ideas when taking the dog for a walk instead of poring over notes. I myself have come out with ideas for The Origin of Things while grocery shopping. I wonder why. Anyway, back to Earl. Now, Earl was in a big company surrounded by all sorts of material and finally, to cut a storied story short, eventually did come out with his invention. He left the company and, why not? He had a kick-ass invention. The only problem was, nobody was buying it. And that's because all that reclusive inventing and tinkering probably took the social Mickey out of Earl. And the poor chap just didn't know how to sell anymore. Of course, the company did end up doing well, very well. So Earl clearly did find a solution. And for that, we need to meet the second protagonist of our story, an employee of Earl's, a lady by the name of Brownie. Brownie Weiss. She was the party animal. She was known for her parties and partying and was quite the talk of the town. In fact, a biography of her is titled Life of the Party. Alas, eventually, she was fired. Fired like, one guesses, so many other party animals whose methods and lifestyle just didn't fit in with the suit and tie regimen of corporate America at the time. But here's the thing. She was not fired for being a party animal, but for simply doing her job. In fact, you could say that partying was her job. And without it, Earl's products, well, would still be collecting dust in the corner. In fact, the book I mentioned above was not centered around her impropriety, but her acumen and savvy. So in some ways, you could say that she was a bit of an influencer? Confused? Let me explain. Earl's products was functional, but boring. It also needed explanation like innovations normally do. He was introverted by this point and preferred dreaming up new stuff in his lab rather than going out knocking on doors and selling. He came across one salesperson who was doing an amazing job hawking his wares. He was so impressed and intrigued that he flew her down from Florida to Massachusetts where he was working and asked her what she was doing, what were her methods, how did she manage to hawk so many of his wares when nobody else seemed to be able to sell them. Brownie told him, and Earl was impressed. You see, Brownie hosted parties at home where she would introduce other women to Earl's products and showed how much easier they could make their domestic lives. Earl was impressed enough to hire Brownie as a VP of sales and said, "Listen, just carry on doing what you are doing and hawk my wares." And hawk she did. Long before Disneyland would transform Central Florida into an international destination, Brownie's home parties were among the most happening things there, which were essentially branded events for hawking Earl's wares. And now they were happening across the country. Brownie became a legend. She mobilized and inspired a sales force, a women-centric sales force, may I add, that would do all sorts of extraordinary things. Dealers competed for everything from electric irons to a trip to Europe with Brownie herself. Notes a PBS article about the dichotomy of the two, and I quote, "Brownie and Earl were an odd but perfect match. She was flamboyant and extroverted. He was reclusive and secretive. She was good with people. He was good with machines. He knew how to produce things and she knew how to sell them. The cultures of the two companies, that is the companies to make the products and to market them respectively, reflected their distinct personalities. While Weiss prodded on her exuberant sales force and engineered hoopla and razzmatazz in Florida, Earl ran a tight ship with no-nonsense engineers and factory workers in New England. Alas, at the end, it was plain jealousy and maybe a touch of misogyny that ended this strange but highly profitable relationship. Distributors and media who knew Brownie was because of her extroverted personality. Earl no longer associated in public consciousness with the product he built and which bore his name. Finally, Earl fired Brownie. Reports say that he wanted to sell his company and didn't want to show a woman in such a high position before selling. He made a lot of money and moved to Central America where he died in Costa Rica. His company, though, still hawked the wares bearing his name and became a part of culture around the world. The wares bearing the name of a young boy who scolded his parents for not being ambitious enough and now invoked by parents around the world, but especially India, for scolding their kids for losing his invention. The invention that revolutionized not just packaging, but also women-oriented multi-level marketing. A product that had two opposite, but two very important protagonists. The tinkerer and the party animal who would sell the tinkerer's wares. The wares bearing the name of the inventor Earl Tupper or Tupperware. See you next week with another episode from The Origin of Things. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us and all our shows on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are at IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, that's Chuck_Gopal on Twitter and Chuck of All Trades on Instagram. All links in the show notes of this episode. See you next week.